Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast, otherwise known as the end of Ed's yellow brick gold bricking. See, right there, joining us as always, the prince of Twitter, the regent of redstate.com, the man who's making me go back to work today, Andrew Malcolm.
I know. I'm a tyrant.
Tyrant. Absolute tyrant.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like I miss anything. I mean.
Well, really. You know, it seems like Trump is already president in many ways.
Trump's already president. Bashar al-Assad isn't.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the last time, well, it wasn't the last, I've taken other vacations, but I do recall that I went on vacation and I traveled with my wife to Italy. And almost as soon as I got there, I had to work because, oh, I don't know, we managed to smoke Osama bin Laden, I think, on day three of my vacation. It was in the morning in Italy because it was overnight here in the United States. And, you know, I'm watching the news in the morning because I could get an English language news, and they're all talking about, oh, well, America seems to have killed Osama bin Laden. It's like, honey, grab me the laptop. Gotta go back to blogging for a day. I'm on vacation this week, and all of a sudden, Bashar al-Assad is no longer running Syria.
No longer with us, yeah. He crossed Barack Obama's red line a long time ago, and nothing happened. But this time, the rebels finally won out.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the reason why it's because Israel defenestrated Hezbollah, and Hezbollah was really the only thing that was still propping up Assad in Syria because his own army wasn't fighting for him, which I guess he found out the hard way over the last couple of days. And you can understand why, but you know, this is momentous things are afoot, and that is probably less to do with Donald Trump. But I suspect that one of the reasons why Hamas is now saying that they're willing to swap out the American hostages is because Donald Trump said, you know, winter's coming on January 20th. Yes,
that's right. That's right.
He said they're not released by then, you know.
Well, you know, America, a lot of Americans, especially Democrats, they like to be thought about in the world as the good guys, you know. Kind people, they take care of the poor and all that. It's not true, but they like to have that image. And Trump comes along and he comes out of the world of real estate where you don't show all your cards. And the fact that he's abrupt, sometimes crude, and goes beyond the norm at times, it rattles people up. And the uncertainty, the unpredictability, is a powerful thing in diplomacy, especially in foreign affairs, as the bad guys don't tend to fool around if they think their bad things will happen back at them. And you'll notice, I think we talked about this before, Putin took over part of Georgia in 2008. He took over Crimea and part of Ukraine in 2014. And he invaded the whole country in 2022.
Right.
And in between that was 4 years where he didn't do any misbehaving like that. And that was the 4 years that Donald Trump was president. You know, you kind of don't want to mess around. Now, even what's his name in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, crazy guy. But Trump came along. Remember, he promised fire and devastation that you've never seen before. And after four presidents who asked Kim Jong-un to meet with them, he finally did because they understand tough. And that's what Trump is.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, telling you exactly what he's going to do, you know?
You don't like it if he's tough on you, but it works. in real estate and in diplomacy, I think. Hopefully they get out. But you've already seen impact abroad, people deciding not to do bad things. And, you know, he was at Notre Dame over last weekend and the cathedral, and it was he was president already.
Well, he is. I mean, the reason is because Joe Biden clearly isn't. And there is a huge vacuum there, and Trump is filling it, which I think, you know, first off, our transitions are too long. We really should revisit the, I think it's the 25th or the 26th Amendment, which sets the transition, might be one of the earlier amendments, might be the 22nd Amendment, which fixes, you know, inauguration day on January 20th.
You know, it used to be in March.
It used to be in March, yeah. But there was a reason for that. It's because it took everybody that long to get to Washington, right? I mean, it was a lot bigger deal to get everybody to Washington to do that sort of thing. And it took that long to get all the election results and stuff. And then we're going backwards in that sense. But I mean, transitions are too long. And especially when you have a transition, I think this transition especially is going to make this very, very clear, is that it's kind of dangerous to have that type of ambiguity. And both parties have tried over the years, over the last decades, to paper over that, right? By having these transitions in which both, you know, the outgoing president and the incoming president try to work together, so it is a seamless, you know, transition as seamless as it can be. It's less so when it's changing from one party control to the other party control, right? But it's still in everybody's interest to pretend like there's the one president still president until noon on January 20th. Clearly, that's not the case this time. And I think that we're going to have a long national conversation about, A, getting the election results in as fast as possible, and B, having a transition maybe sometime in like the first 3 weeks or so. And work on, you know, of the president, work on the rest of this stuff later, because it does leave this sort of dangerous gap. And Trump is filling it right now. And you can see by the way that other leaders in the world are responding to Trump, that they see him as the actual leader right now. Even though he's legally, not quite legally there yet, they're treating him as though he is. And that's actually a good thing in this case, because there just isn't anybody home with Joe Biden. Did you see him? I forget where he was at. Was that in Angola? First off, he fell asleep at a meeting in Angola. And look, I've nearly fallen asleep in meetings like that. So, you know, I'm not necessarily going to gripe about that too much. But I mean, this guy looked like he aged 20 years. I guess the Botox injections came to a halt after Election Day, man, because he looks old. I forget where it was.
And so actually does Kamala.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other thing. See where Time Magazine's considering making her the person of the year?
No.
Yeah, there's really? Something. Yeah, there's something. I mean, I don't know how seriously they're doing it. It doesn't surprise me.
Well, but, it gets people talking, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess person of the year only in an ironic sense maybe, but I mean this is almost a national humiliation how bad the situation has gotten, because the media didn't want to ask questions about his competency, and Congress didn't want to dig into his competency.
Well, the end people hit it. They hit it all.
Yeah. Sharp as a tack. Runs rings around his aides. Yeah. And here's this guy staring into the camera like there's nobody home. Lights are on, but nobody's home. With the hair blowing all around. It's bad, man. So it's a good thing that Trump is filling that role. I think he's doing a pretty good job right now of doing that. And he did something that Joe Biden, to my knowledge, never actually did during 4 years of being president, which is he showed up on Meet the Press. Now I didn't see that. You did. I saw clips of it with Kristen Welker. who apparently couldn't believe that he actually meant what he said, because she kept asking him, did you really mean that you're going to have mass deportations? Yes, I really meant that.
Wake up and smell the roses, Kristen.
Your impression too? Is that she was basically just trying to relitigate the entire election all over again?
Not surprisingly, I was probably more focused on Trump. And what came across to me was the confidence. He carried himself. I mean, he's never been, and the contrast with Joe Biden, of course, is beyond stark. But he was alert. He looked comfortable. I can't wait to see him do a Super Bowl interview. Remember if Joe Biden didn't do that earlier this year? He was confident. He was, how should I word, cordial even. He didn't look for a fight. He wasn't looking for a fight. He wasn't on the fence. And, a lot of things happen in your mind when you get such a substantial election victory. I think it boosts confidence in people who happen to see it or hear about it. And just like with any president, you don't always like everything they do or say, but at least we're coming out of the era of every time Joe opened his mouth, we were cringing about something. He got his last big free international trip out of Air Force One, going to Angola, and like you said, falling asleep. And Jill got a trip over to Paris to Notre Dame. And Trump, Welker asked him, and he said, she couldn't have been nicer. Well, that's not the devilish Trump that the media wants to portray. So it was refreshing and hopeful. And he said he was going to do an awful lot on day one. And he was candid. She said, isn't people going to have to pay more with your tariff ideas? And he said, I can't guarantee anything. So, instead of saying, no, we'll work it all out. Everything will be fine. Don't worry. He's not. He's telling the truth. He's never going to run for anything again unless he decides to become governor of New Jersey. Wouldn't that be something? He runs for governor of New Jersey. What would it be? 82?
Yeah, I know. I think he'll just hang it up and enjoy himself.
I think he's enjoying himself now. Did I read that this time, last time he didn't take any of his salary, $400,000 a year.
He was donating it to a different charity every month.
A different government department. Remember,
Yes.
Department of the Interior and so on. And this time he's doing it to veterans.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. No, he doesn't need the money. Especially if he ends up winning that case in New York with Letitia Adams, he won't need the money again. But I'm just kind of struck about one thing that you said, which was the thing about Jill Biden, because it was very clear that she was very cordial when they were together at Notre Dame. And this was a big deal. And frankly, it was very surprising that she was there when Joe wasn't there. And I was remarking about this to somebody, because there's this image of Emmanuel Macron greeting Donald Trump when he got to, it was when he first got to, I guess it was the government building, not Notre Dame.
Élysée Palace.
Oh, Élysée Palace. Of course. Right. Exactly. And somebody was saying, he looks like he's really happy to see Trump. I said, you understand that if Joe Biden had showed up, that Macron would not have greeted Trump, because the protocol would have been to have that be for the actual sitting president, and it would have been a lower level minister greeting Trump. And the fact that Biden didn't show up allowed Macron to do that, because there's protocols with all this kind of stuff. But I think it underscores your earlier point too, is that Donald Trump really is the president, and everybody knows it. Macron knew it. I mean, technically speaking, protocol being what it is, Macron maybe shouldn't have been out there to greet him in the either way, right? It should have been with a guy who used to be prime minister up until about a hot second ago, Michel Barnier. But it should have been a lower level minister because Trump isn't quite president yet. And but Macron was out there. And the reason why is because Macron knows that this is the guy who's in charge and he's already in charge and he's basically already making decisions. And regardless of whether it's official or not, he's the guy. And so I think your point's right. One other thing about Joe Biden, though, you saw how friendly Joe Biden, I think genuinely so, how friendly Joe Biden was with Donald Trump. Did you see, I guess this was from last night, I put some event in Washington, D.C., and the Bidens and the Harris and Kamala Harris. Oh, it was the Kennedy Center, right, over the weekend, the Kennedy Center Honors. And Jill Biden wouldn't even look at Kamala Harris. And they were sitting across from each other. Yeah, you should take a, I think Twitchy has the video of this. And I was watching the video. I was going, you know, I'm not usually inclined to believe rumors about infighting amongst the elites, because a lot of times it's just misunderstood or overblown. But I've seen, this is the second time in the last, few weeks. And Veterans Day was the same sort of thing. They didn't even look at each other. And, that was sort of an interesting contrast between the two, I thought.
I did. And the Sunday column, I wrote that we should never give a pardon to Biden. I mean, I was playing off of his Hunter Biden pardon, but with all the things he's done, with all the things that he's done, and he's going to get away with it. You know, I mean, karma is a wonderful karma is a wonderful thing if you're out of range. And you've seen those wonderful videos of a guy doing a crazy, wild road rage incident. And right behind him is a cop and the state trooper lights go on instantly. And you go, yes, finally. Yeah, I know. It's wonderful. So, you know, a little karma. And I think Joe is mostly gone in many ways, including mental. And so I don't think that he would be aware of karma. He's so evil and so corrupt. It's just, it's beyond kin. And,
So I've got a quick karma story for you, and I want to talk about pardons some more. But I got a quick karma story. This is years ago. You know, this is maybe even close to 40 years ago, and I would go into this donut shop around the corner from where I used to work, and it was back in the days when I could eat donuts. I'd grab them before I go into the office, you know, and one day we're all in line there and we see this guy pull up into the handicap parking right outside the, you know, right in front of the door, pulled into the handicap parking. And this guy just jumps out and runs in, right? And we're all looking at him like, are you out of your mind? And then it couldn't have been a minute later, right behind him, the squad car pulls up and blocks his car. And the police officers outside jotting down his license plate. And the guy starts running out. Oh, I was only going to be here for a minute. Cops laughing. He's like, no, that's a minute too long, pal. We're all in there, you know, giving the golf clap, cheering on the cop. Yeah, you go, man.
I saw one, I think it was last year, where there was a long line on Black Friday. And it wasn't even daylight yet. Long line in the cold and people waiting outside of Best Buy or something. And a guy came up and went to the front of the line and everybody started booing and trying to get out of here. No way. And he walked away. And then he came back in a few minutes and did it again.
He did it again.
I did it again. And all the guys start, everybody starts booing. And he says, he holds up a set of keys. And he said, do you want to get in?
Okay.
Okay, well, all right. Well, all right. We'll make an exception in your case. Yeah.
We're going to throw that one to the judges, and the judges say, okay, we're going to allow that one. If you've got the keys or you get to go to the end of the line. I'm good. So let's talk about pardons, because it's my, I believe that we are going to finally do something about the power of presidential pardons, because this has been getting stinkier and stinkier. I mean, you can go back as far as whether or not you agree with it or not, the Gerald Ford pardon of Richard Nixon got a lot of people very angry. And then immediately after that, Jimmy Carter's blanket pardon of draft dodgers from the Vietnam War got other people, a different set of people very, very angry. And pardons have really become, presidential pardons have really become.
Clinton did his brother.
I was less, I'm going to get to that in a second too. I was less exercised about his brother than I was about Mark Rich. Mark Rich hadn't even gone to trial yet. He was indicted and he ran out of the country. And his wife was a big time Democrat Party donor. And Clinton pardoned him, even though he was a fugitive, which is something that the Department of Justice was absolutely furious about, because once you go on the run, man, they're going to come and get you. At least that's the plan. But, you know, Clinton was asked about Roger Clinton's pardon. I don't even think he was asked about it. He was asked about Hunter Biden's pardon. And this is just last week. I saw this clip on Twitter, and I thought of you when I saw this, because I was wondering what your reaction was to it. I don't know if you saw it or not. No. But even without the person mentioning it, Bill Clinton is sitting up there on stage. He's like, you know, I'm hearing a lot of people comparing this to the pardon of my brother, Roger. But, you know, Roger did his 14 months in federal prison. He was already out. And there, you know, I was just pardoning him, but he'd already served his time. And so Bill Clinton's even a little defensive about this, right? He's like, oh, you know.
Well, And that's the usual process, is that you don't get a pardon or commuted sentence until you've served some of it. And now I think it was the Wall Street Journal that reported that they're the Biden people, not Biden himself, he's watching golf, but team is considering pardoning in advance. Well, they pardoned Hunter for a 10-year period, from 2014 till December 1st. That's
almost
good.
Almost 11 years. It was 1 month shy of 11 years.
Well, that kind of tells it. I mean, they were worried that Trump's attorney general would come after him. Yeah, well, I mean, if you do something wrong, they should, not out of retribution. In fact, that was one of Trump's best lines in the Meet the Press. He said, my retribution will be success. Making the country great again. And that, you know, that's not a generous spirit that a lot of people associate with Trump. So that was one of the things I found encouraging. But to grant pardons to Adam Schiff and others because you think someday somebody might come after them for the lawfare that they imposed on Trump using lawfare, I mean.
Yeah. It's untenable. Boy, it's untenable. I mean, and the same people who are asking for this are the ones who've been saying, well, I believe in the rule of law, unless it applies to me. And that's from Joe Biden on down. He was, I believe in the rule of law. I believe in the rule of law. Well, Hunter Biden really shouldn't be prosecuted because everybody's mean to him. Nobody else would ever been prosecuted under this law that I actually endorsed. The gun charge is something that Joe Biden helped push through Congress. That that drug use disqualifies you from being able to own and operate a firearm. That's something that Joe Biden pushed. He was part of that. This is his law, and he's exempting his son from it because reasons.
Yeah. It reminds me of, you remember Steve Martin's old line of how to get away with stealing $1 million? I forgot armed robbery was illegal.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, here, take the money.
I think the stink from this is really going to motivate both parties to take a look at a constitutional amendment, which I think will actually pass through Congress and probably get ratified fairly quickly in the states, that limits or puts a check on presidential pardon power. Either Congress has a right to review and reject it, or simply you just do away with it because it's corrupt. It's being used corruptly now. And if it's going to start exempting federal bureaucrats from ever being prosecuted for corruption, then brother, it's time to put an end to that. And
yeah, I agree with you about the abuse. I'm just not sure. I mean, George Washington did it. Sure. And Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford's a good guy, though, too. I mean, he's a Democrat, but he's a good guy. Anyway, go ahead.
Gerald Ford. I mean, I was angry at him, too, at the time. I didn't agree with that. In hindsight, he was probably right, but he lost. Not by a lot, but he lost. And
I think he was going to lose anyway because of Watergate. I think Watergate, the Republicans weren't going to win that cycle, just like Republicans weren't going to win in 2008. Didn't matter who it was that you ran. Republicans weren't going to win either one of those elections. But, I thought it smelled at the time. I think in retrospect, I think more charitably about it, but I still think it was a mistake. I think that if Richard Nixon committed crimes, it should have been held accountable for him.
One solution to get around this abuse is to let it go forward. I mean, is to let the prosecution go forward and then commute or pardon.
Yeah.
But the advanced pardons, oh no, please. That's just, in case you did anything wrong, I might like some of that. I don't plan on robbing a bank, but I might like a pardon.
A get out of jail free card. I wouldn't mind a get out of jail free card. Those are good to have in Monopoly.
Can you do something on that for me, Ed?
I'll be working on that. I'll get back to you on that. Depends on what it is that you're going to offer me, though. these things are not free. I'm just saying.
Okay.
This brings me though to your other column, your other VIP column, or the past week, which is Joe Biden's word as a Biden thing. Because basically, we all know what Joe Biden's word as a Biden is worth these days, and it ain't worth shit.
That's right. Exactly.
Yours was whenever Joe Biden says it's the God's truth, it isn't. This is sort of like, Barack Obama's let me be perfectly clear. Or honestly, all sorts of people's let me be perfectly clear. It usually means let me obfuscate in a way that I hope will stun you into silence. But this guy has been a liar his entire life. He's a fabulist. He's a plagiarist. And the idea that he ever had that the word of a Biden actually ever meant anything, Andrew, is kind of absurd. If you look at the guy's track record, right?
Yeah. Now, remember, his father was a used car salesman. I think that's where it all started.
Used car salesmen actually have a better
better one
than the media do these days. So I'm not sure, it could have been worse. It could have been a politician. Oh wait, Joe Biden's a politician. But I mean, and I think the most amusing part of this is the Captain Louis Renault act that most of the media put on, not to mention fellow Democrats, right? When the thing happened that we all knew was going to happen, and that they all insisted wasn't going to happen, but we knew it was, we knew it would happen, and we knew they knew it would happen, and we knew they knew, etc. Which was, Hunter Biden was always going to get pardoned. It was going to happen after the election. Everybody knew it.
Yeah.
Except the media now is going, oh, he lied to us.
And, you know, there's another side to it that, of course, the media will not cover, but I did. And that is a good reason for the father to pardon the son is because the son has all the receipts on the payment, on the payments, that 10% or more that he complained about on his laptop that he had to pay his father for all of his international influence peddling corruption. So, you know, I'm taking care of you. And I said in the column that, you know, in Russia, such a dangerous living potential leaker might suddenly appear out of a 10-story apartment building window. But in Joe Biden's case, we're going to pardon his son. Yeah. What a scumbag. And I don't think it even crosses Joe Biden's mind to that his son's problems have a good deal to do with the father. You know, I mean, look, yeah. Fathers are supposed to be present to teach values. Joe Biden, as a senator, arranged for Hunter Biden to just become like that. A commissioned Navy officer.
Yeah.
And then, just like that, Hunter Biden failed a pee test. He had cocaine in his urine, and so the Navy threw him out. Okay. I mean, that's a good thing. That's the kind of pardon I go for.
You know, as I told Cam, last Wednesday in our VIP gold chat, this isn't a father pardoning a son. This is a mob boss pardoning his bagman. And that's really, I mean,
until the accident happened. Remember in The Godfather, he says, Sonny, something happened to Sonny. That I forgive. But if something, God forbid, should strangely happen to Michael, like say a policeman shoots him in the head, that I will not forget.
A bolt of lightning strikes him from the sky. I'm going to blame some of the people around this table, and that I will not forgive. Yeah, it's a great scene. Yeah. Speaking of which, we're almost out of time, but I just got to throw this in here. I think I may have mentioned this to on a previous podcast someplace, but I was watching something, and apparently one of the streaming services, it could be Netflix, could be Amazon Prime, I don't know what it is, has attached a warning label to Goodfellas, you know, one of the classic all-time great mob films, right? Goodfellas, saying that that there's a depiction of an ethnic community that might prove offensive to some of its members. I'm thinking, everybody I know that likes The Godfather and the Goodfellas are Italian.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not terribly offended by this stuff.
And what's the name of the person of interest in the Manhattan shooting?
Luigi something or other, right?
Luigi Mangione.
Yeah. That's a great news for us Italian Americans. I'm telling you. But they got the guy.
Well, we haven't had a trial, Ed. Are you going to grant a pardon?
No, I think I'll skip the pardon on that one. Although I know a number of people on the left who, and a few in the media that would like to grant a pardon in that. I mean, when you have John Fetterman telling the left, have you guys lost your minds? I mean, I like this guy Fetterman more and more, and I don't agree with him on hardly anything, but I like him more and more because the guy's got some integrity and he's, you know, he's got some good grounded common sense. I can't believe how many people came out and were basically excusing this coward popping up from behind a parked car and shooting this guy in the back. twice or three times. And they think that this is great because insurance companies are evil.
Yeah. And I saw some stuff. None of this is verified, but I saw some stuff that the guy who got shot was under investigation. There was some concern he was going to turn state's evidence. So motives within motives.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I honestly
don't. I have no idea either, but yeah. You know,
guy's a coward. This guy's a coward. And I hope that they're going to throw unfortunately, it's Alvin Bragg's office that's going to wind up prosecuting this thing, you know.
Oh, and, no.
Well, yeah. It happened in Manhattan. He's the district attorney for Manhattan. He just lost a homicide case today too. You know, the Daniel Penny. And this was a strange thing. You know, and I've been out for a week. I've actually worked a little this weekend because I was trying to cover the events that were going on in the Middle East. We haven't even talked about that, but I was following this case and the jury was hung on the higher charge of manslaughter. And the judge allowed the prosecution to do something very slimy, which was basically to dismiss that manslaughter charge so that they could try to get the jury to then do a verdict on negligent homicide, which is a lower level felony in the indictment. And judges don't usually allow prosecutors to do that, but this particular judge did, and people were screaming about this, saying this is the judge and the prosecutors are basically collaborating to get Daniel Penny convicted. And then today I find out that the same jury that couldn't agree whether or not he committed manslaughter completely agreed that he didn't commit negligent homicide. I'm thinking,
what? Doesn't that tell you why they were deadlocked? They weren't deadlocked over convicting him. They were deadlocked over letting him go. Yeah. So when you lower the charge, all right, the lower charge, we can let that go. I mean, and it also speaks to the rot that the George Soros people have instigated. So I hope there's some karma for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope that there's some more than karma for that. I'm hoping that there's some accountability.
Well, the LA DA got ousted. So
it's the second time Gascon's been ousted too. He got kicked out of San Francisco too.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, yeah. He started up in San Francisco. But did you see what Nate Hockman did first day he was on the job? He rescinded all of every single one of Gascon's directives. There was a whole list of them, right? Where Gascon was saying, we're not prosecuting this crime anymore. We're not prosecuting this crime anymore. Nate Hockman, first day, comes in and says, all of these directives are now canceled. There's a new sheriff in several towns, I think, after this.
And who was it I just read? Is it Walmart or some big company was abandoning DEI?
Walmart. Yeah, it was huge. That's the biggest company yet. In fact, it's the biggest retailer in the United States. So that's as big as it gets.
It used to be the largest employer, but I think Amazon is now.
Well, yeah, I don't know if Amazon's dumping DEI, but I wouldn't be surprised.
If they
start revisiting it. Yeah.
Well, he did, though. He did rescind. Bezos did rescind. He said, we're not going to be endorsing candidates anymore, ever, at the Washington Post. So.
Yep.
Well, this week, Edward, I have a couple of old jokes.
I'm willing to listen to them. I got at least one for you.
These are all replays. Jay Leno said, new poll says 88% of people plan to spend less on gifts this holiday season. The other 12% want to stay happily married. Seth Meyers said, President Trump accused people of voting illegally by changing clothes in their cars and getting back in the line. or in Florida's case, putting on a shirt and getting back in line. I like that.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. We may have told this joke once before on this podcast, but that's okay.
We don't have fact checkers, Edward.
There we go. Okay. Well, that's good because, you know, otherwise the jokes would never pass muster. But all right. So this guy who's, you know, kind of a shy guy decides he's going to go into a bar and try to meet somebody. Right. So he sees a beautiful woman across the other end of the bar, and it takes him a while to, you know, screw up his courage and approach her. And he says, would you mind if I chatted with you for a while? And she yells at the top of her lungs, "No, I won't sleep with you tonight." And everybody turns around and looks at him. So he slinks off back to a table in the back of the bar. And after a while, she comes over and she says, "Look, I'm sorry. I'm a graduate student. I'm studying psychology, and I'm studying how people respond to embarrassing situations." And the guy says in a very loud voice, "What do you mean $200?
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, that's jokesoftheday.net. So there you go. Jokesoftheday.net. All right. On that note, we'll be back again next week because my gold bricking days are over for the rest of 2024 and back to work. And hey, I had a great time off, and it's always great to start to kick off my work habits again by doing a podcast with the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm at AH Malcolm. See you next week, sir.
You bet. By the way, you're looking very good and refreshed after a week of Goldberging. That it serves Thank for you. Your health. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Ed. See you, everybody.